Rush into Old Navy today for this can't-miss one-day deal. 50% off all Old Navy active for the family. Get the workout wear you need at a huge 50% off one day only today. Hurry in or miss out at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/20, select styles only, excludes in-store clearance.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. And thanks to for your patience for those of you who wanted an episode on Thursday, but I kind of wanted to let the Spurs episode speak for itself. And then also, because the Warriors play a Friday game in New Orleans, I planned on doing a podcast, and I still do, doing a podcast after that game. And so to kind of keep the five times a week line going, that was the way I wanted to handle it. And so this podcast is going to do two different things. One is kind of a piece that I wanted to do as a monthly feature of Locked On Warriors. It's something I will also be doing on The Athletic, which is a schedule analysis. So going through some of the fundamental factors that can help predict games and that are important to kind of keep an eye on as you're trying to figure out what's going on around the league. And then, so that'll be the first part. And then the second part is going to be some things to look forward to and to look at when you're watching the New Orleans game on Friday. And it's fun to get the opportunity to do those two things at the same time, but that will be kind of that will be what constitutes this podcast. And so schedule analysis is something that, as I've covered the league in particular, I've gotten a lot more interested in because it explains a lot of the surprising outcomes that you get. And a really good example of this was the game that occurred on Thursday night where the Celtics lost to the Bulls. The Bulls also played really well, but the Celtics had played the night before and traveled, whereas it was the opener for the Bulls. They hadn't played at all, much less, you know, played a couple days before. And there are a lot of different ways to look at scheduling, and I'm going to go through a couple of them here. But the easiest in some ways, because it's really strong, and because it makes logical sense, is the idea of the second end of a back-to-back. And I believe Matt Moore of Hardwood Paroxysm coined the term Sega Baba, but basically that stands for the second end of a back-to-back. And what makes sense about that, well, kind of like why it matters, is because that means the team played the night before, and because of the way the NBA works, in almost all circumstances, it also means the team traveled, so they played presumably a night game, then they traveled after the game, and then were in a new city late, and then play the next day. Because the NBA almost never does home back-to-backs because it's hard for season ticket holders, it's hard for other fans, and so you get that moment. Sometimes you get home-away or away-home ones, so you know, it's not always like road trip, but sometimes those are really hard too, either direction. And so it's something that I look at every year. Starting about 3 or 4 years ago, I started compiling a list of the Warriors games, and then when they were on back-to-back and when the other team was on a back-to-back, and I made a more complicated document this year. And so what's notable, because I'm going to do this about every month, is that for October and really November, the Warriors have a huge back-to-back advantage. So they have eight of the 18 before December 1st are against opponents who played the night before. And six of those eight are at Oracle. So those you can think about as just people have thrown out the idea of a schedule loss, and playing the Warriors on the tail end of a back-to-back is an absolutely brutal one, especially considering that other than Sacramento, which does sometimes happen, that almost always involves a plane flight. And so the Warriors just have a big advantage structurally in terms of that. Doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win, doesn't mean anything like that. And to compound everything, only one of those games has the Warriors on a back-to-back as well, and that is the November 26th game against the Minnesota Timberwolves at Oracle. So, five of the Warriors' eight home games in November are them having not only having a rest advantage, but an opponent on a back-to-back, and that is a significant advantage, especially when you consider that a lot of their road games are against shaky teams. So, you have a real nice kind of foundational piece there. And it actually ties in with something that, because doing the whole season this year, and I did a more complicated thing, some of what I'll get into later, is that the Warriors have an overall rest advantage this season. So it is something to watch. It's not massive. It's, you know, a couple days, more is a better way to put it. But having those back-to-backs is going to be a nice little buffer for them in that way. And to compound matters, so the Warriors face eight teams when they played the night before. The Warriors only have four back-to-backs in November. First one is that they have to fly to LA to face the Lakers the night after the OKC game at Oracle. Then they have to fly to Denver after hosting the Mavericks. They go from Boston to Milwaukee, which for those of you who remember is the exact travel plan that kind of, you could say, led to the Warriors' first loss last season. They had that crazy overtime game in Boston, flew to Milwaukee and got run by the Bucks, though the Bucks are weaker this year. And then the last one in November is that they play the Lakers in LA and then they fly up and face the Minnesota Timberwolves. And so not only is having four versus eight a significant advantage, but there is a kind of a common thread, if you will, in those back-to-backs for the Warriors. And this isn't the sort of thing the schedule makers plan for, but all but one of those sequences have a flawed opponent on one end or the other. So the Lakers did win their opening game against the Rockets, and I called it a funhouse mirror undunked on, but they're still a team that the Warriors should handle with some ease. And so they face them on one end of the back-to-back twice, once on the front end, once on the back end. And then Dallas and Denver are both, you know, shaky, fringe playoff team, that sort of thing. And then Boston is great. They should be very good this year, even though they lost to Chicago, as I mentioned. But then Milwaukee is still looking to find themselves. They had a rough loss in their opener. So none of those are really daunting in that sense. And you do look more at the tail end. And the roughest tail end is probably Denver, because that's a rough flight. You're flying from Oakland to Denver. Time change, elevation change, all that sort of stuff. So I would not be surprised if Denver either gives them a game or wins that outright. And so second end of back-to-back is a great way to predict all this. We'll have to see how that goes. And I apologize for not mentioning this at the outset, but part of the reason why I'm interested in doing this, and it's going to be fun to make it a monthly feature, is that I'm going to go back to this and see if these lines, these through lines of logic, really did hold to form at all, or whether it was just kind of a lot of talking and all that kind of stuff. So the next way that I like to look at it is the idea of more basically of a rest advantage. So a rest advantage is just that one team had more days off prior to the game than the other. And this stretch, so from the first game against the Spurs to the end of November, the Warriors have a rest advantage 8 times. They have a rest disadvantage just 4 times, presumably, well, 3 of the 4 of those back-to-backs. And then 6 times it's even. And that's pretty amazing when you really think about it. And while I don't know this for sure, it would make sense that one of the biggest pieces of that puzzle is that the Warriors play a disproportionate amount of national games, and those are often on Thursdays and, you know, kind of unusual times. And so that might garble up the schedule a little bit to their advantage, just because then maybe you get off Thursday to Saturday and another team plays on Friday, because not only are there the national games on Thursday, but for those of you who watch tonight, there are very few games. There were 4 this time, there are 3 or 5, you know, something in that range, whereas another night can have 8 to 10. So that is a really big advantage. So it's 8, 6, 4. So 8 advantage, 6 neutral, 4 disadvantage. And so that's a really nice benefit for them to kind of have to start the year. And on top of that, they have 2 games where they have a rest advantage of 2, which in this case is where the Warriors have 2 days off and the opponent is on a back-to-back. And those games are consecutive themselves. It's when they face the Suns and the Raptors later on in the month. And they have no games where the opponent has a rest advantage of more than 1 day. And those are a great predictor of what sort of thing can happen, because typically when there's a rest advantage of more than 1 day, that means that one team is on a back-to-back and one team has just had a lot of time. And so the Warriors have 2 of those, the other teams have none. And so that is something to watch in those contests. And then the other one that I wanted to look at is it's a much more muted advantage, but I have a kind of a concept of this season that it might end up helping the Warriors, is when you face a team on the front end of a back-to-back. And so the reason why that might matter for the Warriors is that they can play really well at times, and they're certainly going to be intimidating for certain opponents. And so when you have that sort of a structure, it could lend itself to teams, coaches, saying when they're down, let's say 15 points in the third quarter, being like, oh, okay, you know, we're not going to come back. And then throwing in the white towel a little bit earlier because they want to save their guys' legs. And because, as I mentioned, a back-to-back often, you know, in the Warriors' case, it always involves travel. So that could end up helping to a degree. And so the Warriors have only four back-to-backs in this, so I already talked about that. And then they have five opponents who will have games the next day. And that actually has one of the weirder things when I was putting together my schedule analysis for the whole season, where they actually have three games in a row, their next three games, where their opponents play the next day and the Warriors do not. So the games against the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Blazers are all on the road, but all of their opponents play the next day. All of them travel that night to another location. So I don't know, that's usually a much smaller advantage than the other way around, but at the same point, you never really know for sure. So it's something to keep an eye on, but it's not as definitive as the other way around, because then the guys are actually tired. And so you can clearly see that. The other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is the overall rest advantage. I alluded to it before, but having the hard numbers is nice to have. So on the front end, the Warriors have an 8-day rest advantage over the course of the season. And that doesn't account for opening night, because it doesn't matter, and then after the All-Star break, because really once you get beyond a couple days, the effects of rest get a little bit more marginal, just because you already have enough. You know, it's kind of like the idea of sitting on the bench for 15 minutes versus sitting on the bench for 10. Once you're rested, you're rested. And the way that works in terms of everything is that the Warriors average almost exactly one day off before every game. So that would be, let's say, playing on Thursday, then playing on what Saturday, because then you have one day off between. And opponents average 0.91, so about 9/10 of a day off. And that doesn't sound or feel like a lot, but the other way to think about it is that one out of every 10 opponents will have a rest disadvantage, or you could say, if you want to think about it this way, we'll be playing on a back-to-back, so like more often than the Warriors. And so, you know, we'll see if that ends up mattering. I mean, beyond the loss against the Spurs, the expectation is that the Warriors will be good enough that things like that won't necessarily matter. But the broadly favorable home schedule early on will be a significant factor just in terms of getting everything right. And yeah, the Warriors only lost two regular season games at home last year. They already lost one this year. But getting that is important. And also with the idea of working this new group, getting chemistry, and making sure that the stars and starters and everybody else get enough rest, that having the advantage of, you know, getting tired opponents is certainly something that could help. It's an important predictor of how the NBA goes all the time. So it's going to be fun to watch this throughout the whole year, especially now that I've built the database already. So I don't have to do a ton more work except for putting in the results of the games. So I would say probably on the first or the last day of the month, each time I'm going to do part of an episode, probably about this, maybe a little less than 10 minutes, talking about how it went and then how it's going to go for the next month. So I hope you liked it. If not, send me some feedback and I'll consider it. But before we move on, a quick note from one of our sponsors. I wanted to talk a little bit about Friday night's Warriors-Pelicans game, because this is a somewhat different New Orleans team than Warriors fans are probably familiar with, and a lot of that is due to injury, because Jrue Holiday, Tyreke Evans, and Quincy Pondexter are all going to be out of this game, and though all three are still on the roster, so it's not like they're, you know, they've had that kind of changeover. And what that has led to is a somewhat different New Orleans team, because they're starting three new additions right now. They're starting Tim Frazier at the one, Etuan Moore at shooting guard, and Solomon Hill at small forward, though he's playing a fair amount of power forward. And then the standard Anthony Davis, Omer Asik at power forward and center. And the most notable takeaway from their first game, which was a loss at home to the Nuggets, was Anthony Davis's absolutely ridiculous stat line. He played 41 minutes, but he dropped 50 points on 34 shots, and then he was 16 of 17 from the line. And that was more, it was more makes than the Warriors had in their entire game against the Spurs. And on top of that scoring output, he also had 16 rebounds, 7 steals, 5 assists, and 4 blocks. And just an absolutely ridiculous performance from him. But they lost the game, and also, they got outscored when Davis was on the floor. They got outscored by 3, and that is not AD's fault necessarily, but it is indicative of kind of where the Pelicans are at the moment, because while they have some good guys on their team, some of them are out right now, and the other part of that is it puts a lot of the onus on Davis to be the central figure in their offense, and for large moments of, especially their first game, being a big part of their defense as well. And Davis was a talented defender at Kentucky. He's actually disappointed to a large degree on that end as a professional, but this could be kind of the start of a little bit of that, but we'll have to see against the Warriors because they are a very different opponent than the Nuggets were, for better or for worse, because Denver is starting 2 7-footers, and the Warriors, you know, they play a few of them as they cycle through their myriad bigs, but generally speaking, the Warriors go small more than they go big. And that was one of the more interesting storylines of the first game, beyond Davis's ridiculousness and them still losing, was that to counteract Denver's size, playing 2 7-footers, at the end of the game, New Orleans went small. And they said, so they went with Solomon Hill at the 4, they went with Anthony Davis at the 5. And Denver reacted by taking both of their bigs out of the game. And it's true that they don't really have many big guys that are particularly adept at that. They used Kenneth Faried. He did okay for little stretches, but not super great. But the Warriors are a team that is very comfortable going small. And it will be a major test for Draymond Green, presumably, because I assume he'll be getting the Anthony Davis assignment for much of the night. And if the Pelicans go small, the Warriors have better wings than New Orleans does, and so that will be a difference from, well, I mean, Denver has pretty good wings, but just, they don't have Kevin Durant, they don't have Klay, and so they will be doing that. And something else to watch for New Orleans is that while Buddy Hield is not starting, he is their lottery draft pick, talented shooting guard from Oklahoma, he is getting significant minutes off their bench, played about 17 against Denver, and I would expect him to play a little bit more against the Warriors because it's getting more into his career and because they really do need it. And another player that Warriors fans will be familiar with is that due to the absence of Tyreek and Jrue Holiday, Lance Stephenson is getting some meaningful minutes for New Orleans. He was the last guy to make their team. They actually cut a fully guaranteed player, Alonzo G, to keep Stephenson around, and he does have the role sometimes of initiating the offense for their second unit because they're starting Langston Galloway at backup one, and Galloway's more of a combo guard. He can do some ball handling, but you want to have somebody else out there, and so Stephenson is taking on a role somewhat similar to what the Warriors wanted Iguodala to do for moments of his time on the Warriors, and so that's initiating and just kind of being an instigator on defense, and so we could see those two faced up some of the time, depending on how Steve Kerr wants to manage his rotations. So there will be a lot to follow how the Warriors administer the stagger in a game where Anthony Davis figures so large. Presumably, they'll probably line up Draymond's minutes with Davis's for the most part, just because he's by far their best. But we could see some minutes with Kevin Durant guarding Anthony Davis, and that would be a great thing to see, just because Durant isn't going to show that, you know, really that moxie too much in the regular season. Though I don't think he's somebody who really holds back in that sense of a more deliberate thing. It's just that he can turn it into another gear, sort of like what LeBron did in the playoffs last year. And so if they give him that assignment for, let's say, 4 or 5 minutes over the course of the game, how Durant reacts to that will be notable, because Davis will absolutely torch all the Warriors' traditional fives, you know, Zaza, David West, McAdoo, Varejao, Looney. Well, actually, Looney would be kind of fun. But so watching all of that will be notable because they're a different kind of opponent. And, you know, the Spurs are the Spurs. They had a closer game against the Kings tonight, but they are still incredibly talented. And so a more normal contest in that way. And so, yeah, it'll be a different kind of evaluation, because the Warriors are going to play more teams like the Pelicans than they are teams like the Spurs. So I will put out a new episode after the game Probably tomorrow night. Not entirely clear whether it will be a Friday night episode or a Saturday morning episode. It will depend on whether I get a guest and or how I get my thoughts together. But really looking forward to it, and had a fun night yesterday, just really enjoying the first day of the NBA season. Recorded a Dunked On about what we take away. Nate and I actually watched the games together yesterday, so that which was nice. And there's just a lot going on around the league. And then today was an exciting game between the Clippers and the Blazers, which LA ended up winning. And the Warriors head up to Portland to end this road trip, so they'll be up there on Tuesday, and we'll see how that goes at that point, and sure have plenty of content on that as well. So if you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, you can reach out to me at Danny LaRoux on Twitter, DannyLeroux. Can also email me, DannyLaRouxNBA@gmail.com. I read everything, respond to what I can, though admittedly sometimes that is slow, but I try. And then I'm going to try to do some different stuff over the course of the next couple of weeks, having some guests, going through some other topics, and just trying to get a real handle on this season as it really starts out. And since the Warriors don't have any intrigue in terms of, like, rookie options or extension negotiations or anything like that, they picked up Kevon Looney's third-year option already, so can't really do anything on that. And some people have already asked me about doing things related to the reports about the new CBA, and that will be a subject here, but I want to wait for more definitive details. But if anything really specific comes out, I'll probably either do a segment on it or talk about it a little bit. But really, it'll be once an agreement is finalized, and especially if I can get my hands on it in the early time, and I'm just going to pour through it. But we don't know when that's going to be, if it's going to be any time, so we'll just have to kind of be patient for it. But the early inclinations are that it could actually be reasonably helpful for the Warriors, as long as Kevin Durant is going to be willing to take a small haircut for next season alone. And if you want to know more about that, you could either listen to, I believe it was the very first Locked On Warriors. I talked a little bit about that. And also I wrote about it for the Sporting News in July. I think it was like a week or two into July after he signed, and just kind of how those mechanics are going to work. And it sounds like it'll be somewhat similar with, you know, probably won't be the same, but it'll be somewhat similar. So you can do that. You can also keep in touch with the show, Locked On Dubs on Twitter, Locked On Warriors on Facebook, which I'm going to get better about updating, and then LockedOnWarriors@gmail.com. Also, for those of you who are football fans, since we're getting close to the weekend, you should definitely check out Locked On Niners and Locked On Raiders, or whatever other NFL team you are interested in, and they're doing great content over there. And, you know, we're about the halfway point of the NFL season, so that's pretty exciting. And this overlap between the two is an enjoyable stretch, at least for me, and I'm guessing for a fair amount of you as well. So thank you so much for listening. Take care, and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.